Our scripture reading for today is from Luke 7, and we read that together. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you, so go in peace." Two stories. A friend tells me about the great effect it had on her father when her mom was admitted to hospital and he couldn't see her or be with her. For the last 12 years, her mother and father have never been without each other. And when her mother passed away, her father couldn't be with her. And she told me just how bad it was on him and for him and how he was suffering. Another, I'm listening to the radio afternoon show and a man arranges to ask the love of his life to marry him on the show. And she suffered a great loss a few years ago. Her whole family dies in a car accident, 3 children and her husband. And the trauma of that was so great, the effect of that trauma on her life. She lost her house, she lost her job, she had to move to family just to get a support network around her. And really a long time of healing and just getting on her feet again went by. And an old school friend comes her way again and she says on the show there was just a look between them two. And they started talking again and she starts falling in love with him and he with her. And she finds healing and hope. And she says on the show that, "I never thought I'd have a second chance to love." Love. Without it, we suffer. With it, we can find healing. And the path to healing is through love, emotional healing, spiritual healing, and also physical healing. Research has already shown the physical effects on humans when they are in love. A longer life, less stress, stronger immune systems, lower blood pressure. Love is powerful. And it's in a relationship, in a certain kind of relationship that can be described as love, that you can get healing, no matter who you are and no matter what you go through. In today's scripture, three people. Three people who show three ways to experience healing through love. The first is this woman. A woman that tells us why love? And the effect of love, what it does to us. She's sinful. She's unclean. She's broken. And she comes to show love to Jesus. And Jesus receives it. And that's such good news for me, because that means in my brokenness, in our brokenness, we can give love. Have you ever discovered the mystery of life where you become unaware of what you are doing and what you are giving? You know, I don't do anything calculated. What am I going to get out of this mindset? No. I don't care about who I am, what I've done wrong, or what can go wrong if I do this. I don't do this because I believe in sowing and reaping. I'm sowing now because I'm going to reap after this. No. Doing something selflessly and with love. Almost like I don't even know I'm actually doing a good thing. I do it because it's noble. I do it because it's right. I do it because it's love. And that's a great place to go to. A place where I can give without thinking, without analyzing. I just give. And this woman is like that. She just came to give. And she gave that love out of gratitude for what had happened to her. And she didn't care who was there, what she looked like. She just wanted to show it. This is why I'm doing it, because it's right, it's good, it's beautiful. Jesus, and I want to say thank you. And I want to be with him, and I want to touch him. And in that selfless act of giving love, that's where she and that's where we can find joy and fulfillment and healing. That's where healing happens. Now, this woman was not only healed by the love of Jesus and the love that he gave her, the forgiveness, and but her loving act and her touch also gave Jesus healing. Now, there are several commentaries that suggest that this may be the same woman as in the Matthew 26 account of the woman who washes Jesus' feet. And in that version, Jesus says, "Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." We know Jesus was anxious about the road before him and about his death. But this loving act healed Jesus in the sense that he was being prepared. And I wonder what that means. How do we prepare for death? I think it means you find a peace. You find a all shall be well. Everything is going to be okay. And I can only imagine that while she was comforting and touching him, he let the struggle in his spirit just go into her compassionate hands. And that in that moment, in those moments, he experienced relief from the pressure that was on him. And maybe God touched Jesus, healed Jesus through the love and the compassion of this woman. The second person or character is Simon. And Simon's story tells us that we need to receive love. I cannot help but feel a little bit sad for Simon. He's broken. He's wounded. He's blind to what's happening in front of him. He didn't really put a foot wrong. You know, he's got the right people in the right place with Jesus. But he doesn't really give himself in this encounter with Jesus. Love is there. It comes into his house, but he misses it, but he doesn't receive it. And it has such a big effect on the way he is speaking and his presence in that space. He's arrogant. There's condemnation, judgment. He's outspoken, full of opinions. And we see his discomfort and resistance. And Jesus tries to make him aware and he says, Simon, you're missing it. You don't have a problem with this woman. You have a problem with the essence of your deepest desire, which is giving and receiving love. Think of two people in debt. One owes 50 rand, the other 500 rand. The person to whom they owe this money writes it off. Who would love the one who writes off the debt most? And Simon says, the one who owes the most. Exactly, Simon. Exactly. I, Jesus, came into your house. You didn't welcome me. She washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. In those days, welcoming someone in your house meant you wash their feet. He says, you didn't receive me with open arms, a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since she came in. Simon, her sins are many. Her brokenness is many, but she's received my love and my forgiveness. And this woman gives a lot of love because she has received a lot. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And if I could paraphrase that, I would say, whoever receives little loves little. What is it in us that resists and doesn't see and doesn't receive love? Now, there's nothing simple about being human. We're a mystery to ourselves. But more than anything, each one of us hunger for love. Hunger to be touched where we are most vulnerable, where we are most ourselves, where we are open and defenseless. And yet, in the face of love, we often become resilient, resistant, upset, uncomfortable, when love is being given to us. But our greatest desire is for love. And we must learn to receive it. And that's the point. This woman shows what it means to receive Jesus' love. And therefore she loves him from her heart, without any restraint, abundantly, generously. She crosses the border to Jesus. She fully identifies with him. She's very public. She's very revealing. But he crossed the border to her and loved her and healed her because she was able to receive. The third person in the story is Jesus. Jesus is the one that shows us how we should give love. If you want to know about love, go to the source of love. God is love. Because he first loved us, we can know love. 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. And then John 3:16, God says, I love this world so much that I gave my only son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I gave myself through my son to show you what love, true love, real love is. And if you want to know how God loves, look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. We have so many events and interactions in scriptures to know something of God's loving heart just by looking at Jesus. And each time we see Jesus doing three things in his love for people. He sees people. He looks at people in a different way than we do. He tells them. He speaks words of love to them. And then he does something. Whether he does an act, he gives them an act of love. Whether he touches them, whether he blesses them, whether he sends them. In today's story, Jesus is in this house, a Pharisee, important, respected people. There's a meal. It's an occasion. I mean, if you've had a meal at an important person's house, you know, it's not just a meal. It's an event. All the right people are there. But in this important person's house with all these important people around the table, here comes an unclean, sinful woman who shows an act of love. Can you imagine the tension in that room? Jesus is welcoming to the woman, even though she's clearly unwelcome. He doesn't condemn, even if she's someone who's looked down on. She leads a bad life, as one of the translations says. He's deeply touched. He looks at her, and he looks at her with love. He said to someone, "Do you see this woman?" He sees her. He accepts her. He forgives her. He gives healing. He says, "Your sin, your brokenness is forgiven." And then he blesses her, and he sends her, "Go in peace." In the story of Matthew, Matthew was a tax collector. Now, the tax collectors were persons who went to work for the Romans. They collected the tax as Jews among the Jews. So the Jews were not at all sympathetic to them. The Jews wrote and said that these people, tax collectors, cannot go to heaven. They are traitors, not just to us, but they have betrayed and denied God. They renounced their faith, and they were referred to as garbage dogs. Now, Matthew, when he writes about that first encounter with Jesus, when Jesus looked at him, he says in Matthew 9, verse 9, "He looked at me and he saw a man." This is the first time someone looks at me and he sees a man, not a dog. And he treats me like that, like a man, a human being. And what does Jesus do? He says, "Come, follow me." John 4, Jesus meets the woman at the well. She's from another faith. She's a woman. She's opposite sex. Men did not deal with women in public. Never mind talk to them. She's from another tribe, another nation. And there's this tension between Samaritans and the Jews. The Samaritans were actually Jews left behind in exile. They intermarried. They had their own temple. They had their own Bible. And the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews. But Jesus considers her. Looks at her, loves on her. She's been married 4 times. Now she's staying with a man, probably given up on marriage. She's not just a woman. She's a woman who can't keep a man. In the eyes of the world, something's wrong with her. But in the eyes of Jesus, when he looks at her, he looks through everything she does, through everything that happens in her life, and he touches the deepest thing in her heart, and he respects her. And he's loving to her, and he says to her, "You know, I see this thirst in you, and I have the water for you to drink that you will never ever thirst again." And that turns her whole life around, her entire life. And then she goes. Jesus comes into this world and he lives love. And it's a greater love than the romantic love we know. John writes and says Jesus loved to the end. With all the transitions of life, he was there with his disciples. Someone once said that if you want to master anything in life, you have to spend 10,000 hours on it. Now, if you take the time that Jesus spent with the disciples, you add up the days and the hours, it comes down to roughly 10,000 hours. They saw how he lived. He showed them, he told them, and now he says to them, "Go and love each other and others just as much. Love as I have loved you." We won't be able to do anything in this life if we do not first figure out how to do it. And that's why this is what we're invited to look at the life of Jesus and how he loved and learn to do that. I don't know what your conditions or circumstances of your life is like at the moment. I do know that many of our greatest pain happened in relationships where there was supposed to be love. And many of us, me, I'm included, we're on a journey to recover from those wounds and pain. But the truth and the good news remains, love heals. There's an expression, all healing is through loving, all healing. And so I want to invite you to join us on a journey of love this week with 3 practices. The first is love, finding love and healing through love in your relationship with God. Paul has so many prayers for love. He prays and he asks God that we will know his love. He asks. So I want to invite you to ask God for it. Pray and ask that you can feel and experience his love for you. That we can hear how he tells us, you are my beloved child. I delight in you. We can ask that he shows us how he feels about us and how he loves us. That we can experience it. The second practice is to receive love. Think of the person who loved you the most in this world. And take a moment just to thank God for that person and that you are able to experience love and healing through that person and God's love through that person. And know that God loves you at least as much as that person. And then the third practice is to give and to show love. I want to invite you to start with the people that's closest to you. Your husband, your wife, your life partner, your children, maybe a friend, maybe a colleague, someone that you spend a lot of time with, and find out what is their love language. Maybe ask that person in your life, how do they experience love? And start giving it to them. Might be in gifts, quality time, words of recognition, service. I don't know. But start and make it very practical. And as we practice, we might actually get to that selfless, loving, giving place. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your love. That you've loved us from the beginning and that you will love us for eternity. You love us with an eternal love. And thank you that nothing can separate us from that love. Not life, not death, not the heavens, not hell, not angels or demons. Nothing, Lord, can separate us from your love. And we ask that you show us your love, Lord. We want to receive it. We want to receive so that we can give and share that love. Help us to go to those vulnerable places where we often resist love when it comes our way. And give us wisdom and give us insight to see how we block ourselves or close ourselves up and where we don't receive. Bring healing, Lord, that we can love and receive love generously. And Lord, we ask that you will send people our way where we can practice to give and share your love. In spaces of hurt and pain, I know it's difficult. You know it's difficult for us, Lord. But I ask that you will give me what I need, that you will give us what we need to take those first steps of loving. And whatever that may mean, help us to serve and to be there for others and to love like you first loved us. This is the prayer of our heart. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us again today. If you have a prayer request or you want to speak to someone, please send us an email. Contact us at gebedsversoeke@mosaic.com. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father and the grace of Jesus Christ, the fellowship, the friendship of the Holy Spirit remain with us all. Amen. Have a wonderful week.